75 is where we're reading from this morning, the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter. We're going to begin reading in verse 27. And I know that there are hams in the oven and pies baking, and I hope you aren't running by Publix to pick up a key lime pie after church because they're closed today. And I bought the last one last night. So, no. So I recognize time. John chapter 12, verse 27, page 875 in your pew Bible. And we're going to lift up our voices and read God's Word together. We're going to read verses 27 through 34. Let's read. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Thank you. You can be seated. You know, the Bible is replete with questions. Biblical scholars tell us that there are over 3,300 questions in the Bible. In fact, in the New Testament, there were over 300 questions either asked of Jesus or asked by Jesus during his time of ministry. The very first question in the Bible was asked by the serpent when he asked Eve in Genesis 3:1. Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? The first question asked by God was directed to Adam just 8 verses later when he said, Adam, where are you? The first question that a man asked God was credited to Cain in the 4th chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 9, when Cain asked this question of God, am I my brother's keeper? This morning's text reveals one of the many questions asked about Jesus. They were asked by a plethora of individuals, including religious, political leaders, legal experts, his own followers, and then the many people who came to him and asked him various questions. But this Easter morning, I don't want us to answer 3,300 questions, or even over 300 questions. I want us to answer one question, and it was asked by the people at the very end of verse 34. Who is this Son of Man? Who is this Son of Man? Well, the Old Testament begins to give us insight into who the Son of Man is. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, gives us one of the very first clues by saying that this Son of Man will be born of a virgin. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. The Bible also tells us where this Son of Man will be born. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the prophet wrote these words, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who shall reign over the nations. Isaiah tells us that the Son of Man would be preceded by a prophet. In chapter 40, verse 3, he said, the voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 78, verse 2, that the psalmist, that the Son of Man would teach in parables. He said this, "I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old." Isaiah tells us that the ministry of the Son of Man would be marked by miracles. In verse 5 and 6 of Isaiah 35, he writes, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute shout for joy." Even though he went about doing good, Isaiah said that he would be despised and rejected. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, Isaiah wrote this about the Son of Man. "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and one familiar with pain." And although he never did anything to create enemies, the Scripture tells us in Psalm 31, verse 13, that the Son of Man would have many enemies who would plot to take his life. "For I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life." And although great crowds followed him everywhere he went, pressing in upon him, at times so great that he would have to get into a boat to teach them because of the crowd pressing in upon him, the Bible tells us, Psalm 22, verse 1, that at the end of his life, the Son of Man would be forsaken. Because we hear these words, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the cries of my anguish?" Although he committed no crime and was guilty of no misdeed, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 22 that he would be crucified. Beginning in verse 16, "Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and they pierce my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me." Although he had very few possessions, the psalmist tells us that even as he is dying on the cross, he would look down and see people casting lots for his clothes. Psalm 22, verse 18, "They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." And although he was laid in a tomb, and it was covered with a stone, and even though it was sealed by the mark of the Roman government, and a group of Roman soldiers stood guard on it, the psalmist said that the Son of Man would be resurrected. The 118th Psalm, beginning in verse 17, "I will not die, but I will live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death." And the New Testament also sheds light on who is the Son of Man. Paul tells us that he is the resurrected Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." In preaching his very first sermon, Peter spoke that Jesus was the only way of salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Paul writes and tells us that the Son of Man is not only the head of the church, but he is the very foundation of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, Paul writes and says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Paul also tells us that he is the head of the church. Colossians 1:18, speaking of the Son of Man, "And he is the head of the body, the church." The writer of Hebrews tells us that the Son of Man is the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end of our faith. Because in Hebrews 12:2, he writes these words, "Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith." And then Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, that the Son of Man is coming again. He said, "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Who is the Son of Man? That was the question the people asked Jesus. He is talking about how He is going to die. He tells them, "I'm going to be lifted up." In other words, "I'm going to be crucified." And they are saying to each other, "This cannot be, because Moses wrote that when the Messiah comes, the Son of Man, He will never die. He will live forever. What does He mean about being lifted up? And who is the Son of Man?" Each Sunday, we recite the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God the Father Almighty." And I've told so many people that if anyone were to ever ask me, "What do I believe as a follower of Christ?" I could just recite to them the words of the Apostles' Creed. "This is what I believe, beginning with God, going through Jesus, the Bible, everything about Christ, ending up that He's coming again." But who is this Son of Man? He was the baby born in Bethlehem. Shepherds came to worship Him. Wise men journeyed to find Him, and Herod sought to kill Him. Who is this Son of Man? He is the one who was taken by His parents as they fled to Egypt to protect Him from Herod's armies. Who is this Son of Man? He's the 12-year-old boy who stood in the temple for 2 days and confounded the religious leaders of his time as he talked to them throughout the Old Testament, the writings about himself. Who is this Son of Man? He's the one who at the age of 30 walked into the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. And when He came up out of the water, there was a voice heard from heaven that said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Who is this Son of Man? He was the one who was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. And there for 40 days and nights He fasted, and He was tempted by the enemy to give in, to give up, to surrender His rights as the Son of God. And yet He walked out of that desert victorious. Who is this Son of Man? He's the one who walked into a wedding in Cana of Galilee and turned water into wine. Who is this Son of Man? He's the one who healed the sick, that caused the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the blind to see, that caused the lame to walk. He's the one who took a handful of fish and bread and fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Who is this Son of Man? He is the one who taught using parables, and He talked to the people about a great net and a pearl of great price. He talked to them about a father who waits patiently for his son to come home, about a woman who swept her house looking for one coin, and about a shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep to go look for the one. Who is this Son of Man? He's the one who talked to them about leaven, who talked to them about the power and the kingdom of God. Who is this Son of Man? He's the one who walked on water in the midst of a storm and said to His disciples, "Do not be afraid, it is I." Who is this Son of Man? He's the one who went up into an upper room with His disciples and washed their feet, including the feet of one who would deny Him and one who would betray Him, and who came to that table and took the bread and broke it and blessed it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, "This is my body broken for you." And then took the cup and lifted it up to heaven. And after he had blessed it, he gave it to them and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for the new covenant. This do in remembrance of me, the Son of Man." Who is this Son of Man? He's the one who took his 11 disciples into the garden and began to pray. And his prayer was interrupted by the temple guards who came to arrest him. And even though they were arresting him, and one of his disciples took a sword out and cut off the ears of one of the very ones who had come to arrest him, he picked that ear up off the ground and attached it back to the head of that man and healed him. Who is this Son of Man? He was the one who was lied about and ridiculed, but he never said a word. He was the one who was slapped and beaten and had his beard plucked out, who was mocked and blindfolded, and they would slap him and say, "If you're a prophet, tell us who slapped you." Even when they took the crown of thorns and crushed it down to his forehead, he did not say a word. Who is this Son of Man? He was the one they led out and tied him to a post and beat him unmercifully. Who is this Son of Man? He's the one that they put the crossbeam of his own cross across his shoulders and forced him to begin to attempt to carry it up to Golgotha. Who is this Son of Man? He's the one who laid down on that cross, and when they extended his arms and drove nails into him, he did not say a word. When they drove a spike into his feet, he did not protest. Who is this Son of Man? He is the one who, hanging on the cross, looked down and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Who is this Son of Man? He's the one that, while hanging on the cross, he told one of the thieves, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Who is this Son of Man? He was the one that they took his body down and wrapped it in cloths and tucked it into a borrowed tomb and rolled a stone in front of it. And then Pilate had it sealed and placed a squadron of soldiers there to guard it. Who is this Son of Man? He is the one who, on the third day, death could not hold him, the tomb could not contain him. He rose again from the dead, victorious, and he lives today. Who is this Son of Man? He's the one who ascended to the Father and is seated at his right hand as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Who is this Son of Man? He is the one who said, "I'm coming back, and I'm going to take you to be with me, and there you will be in my presence forever." Who is this Son of Man? He is the one who will one day come back and establish the kingdom of peace upon the earth, and there will be no war and no suffering and no cancer and no hospitals and no rehab centers, and there will be no funeral homes, there will be no cemeteries, and we will live and reign with this Son of Man forever and ever. Who is this Son of Man? He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He is your Savior and your soon coming King. He is the Son of Man. So if anyone ever asks you one day, "Who is this Son of Man?" you can say, "I am so glad you asked that question. I can tell you who He is. He is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. He is my Lord." That's who the Son of Man is. Amen. Sherry, come and pray for us.
Well, if you didn't know who the Son of Man was, you now know who he is. And he was with Father God and Holy Spirit before the creation of the world. And he knew that this moment that we talk about was going to happen. He knew what he was going to have to suffer. And he did it because of his obedience to the Father and his love for the Father and his love for you and for me and for everyone on this planet who's ever lived, who lives today, and who will live in the future. So if you don't know who this Son of Man is and you want to know, come see me out there and I'll help you find him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're so good. We thank you for the gift of your Son, who you lent to us so that he could reveal the kingdom of God while he was preaching for 3 years, and then gave his life for us. He became the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world, for the remission of our sins, for the covering of our sins. And yet, on the third day, he rose from the dead, and he lived on the earth for 40 days, and then he ascended to heaven, where he sits at your right hand today. So I thank you for that, and I ask you to bless these people here and underneath this beautiful building that, and those on Facebook that you would bless them, Lord, with the knowledge that Jesus is the Son of Man and he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, we ask that you would bless their going out and bless their coming in. In the magnificent, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.